Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and today we have a very special guest. He's a very famous person. His name is Pat Cooper. Yes, the comedian Pat Cooper, and he's written a new book called How Dare You Say How Dare Me, and he's here to talk about it. Hello.
Hello, my friend.
I said that with feeling, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm okay, thank God. I'll be 82 in July, so I have no complaints.
That is amazing. You've had quite an amazing life.
Well, I've been around a lot of years, and, people keep wondering when I'm going to leave.
The answer is never. You're not leaving, right?
Well, I'll leave when I'm ready.
When you're ready. You said that with feeling. I like that.
Right.
You've had a lot of... reading this book is just amazing. There's so many stories. I mean, the Johnny Carson story just blew me away. I mean, it totally blew me away.
Well, no one has the courage to say those things because they treat the wrong people sometimes with respect. And right. When those people don't treat you with respect, you should stand up to them. I don't say you got to be a bully, but you got to stand up to people who don't respect you.
And
you say, why? What have I done to you? Just because you have a television show, that doesn't give it a right. Well, anyway, this guy was not the popular guy off the score of that screen.
Right. Absolutely. I applaud you. You're my hero. I mean, you do everything I wish I could. I had the nerve to do.
Well, this wasn't a question. I learned that from my parents. I stood up to my parents when I thought they were getting out of line. And they wanted me to do something that I was not capable of doing, and I would tell them, I can't do it, so don't push it. My mother kept saying to me, paint the kitchen. I said, I can't stand the fumes. She insisted, so right. I painted the kitchen black. And when she opened the door, she thought she lost her eyesight.
I bet she was really upset when she saw
it. No, I mean, that was not a nice thing to do, but I said, I got to stop this woman or she's going to torture me with this paint the kitchen. I painted the window, I painted everything. Everything was black, floor, everything.
But you, according to the book, you were the maddest at Johnny Carson for that incident. I mean, that was the worst thing that's ever happened.
Well, I don't know. I stood out, and be counted in... People says you're a big mouth or you're a bully, and I'm not a bully, and I have manners. I raised myself to be a gentleman, and I say when I can't do something, I just can't do it.
Well,
my mother said, here's the fork, fix the television. Are you crazy? I'll get electrocuted. She goes, no, you'd rather me pay $10 for a mechanic.
Your parents must have been a trip. They sound like...
Well, they had no money. There was no money there, so they had to save things. They had to every penny counted. Today, we just throw money away. Don't mean nothing.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, the waste that's involved today is just astronomical. I mean, you go to get a donut at the Dunkin' Donuts, and they throw donuts away. If they accidentally drop it, it gets thrown in the trash.
Well, I got a friend of mine who can't afford $500 for a computer. And she went out and bought a computer. I said, you ain't got money for the rent. Are you nuts? But she says, I got to have it because I need it. I need the company. I says, well, give me $500. I'll take you out a couple of times.
There you go. That's wonderful. You're much more practical, I think, than other people. Have you always been that way?
Yes. But I had a school teacher, Mrs. Tenenbaum, who told my father, your son lights up the school. You should understand him. And he's like electrical. He's just electrical. And my father goes, how come you don't light up the building?
Well, you mentioned that people think you're a bully, but you're just standing up for yourself. How can people think that's bullying when you're standing up for yourself?
Well, who calls me a bully? Those who can't do what I do or don't stand up and be counted. So they put a sign on me saying that I'm a boy. I've never raised my hands to anybody. I never bulldozed anybody. I just said, I'm telling you I can't do something, I'm not going to do it because it's ridiculous.
Right.
We have too many people today who have jobs of importance and really don't deserve these jobs, and knowing their heart they can't do it, yet they take the job and they ruin innocent people.
Right.
What about these people?
Are you a happy person today, or how much of your life have you been happy?
I was happy more and more when I became a professional comedian, and I was the only Italian to open his mouth and say, I'm Italian and I'm a comedian. It was like unheard of. My father said, if you sang off key in an Italian family, you were another Caruso.
Right.
But if you turn around and say something funny, you were a buffoon.
Right.
Now, in a Jewish family, if you said something funny, I'm not a Milton Berle. Because the Jewish culture had the DNA of the show business, and they had the timing of comedians that I grew up with. I saw some of the greatest in the world. They had a flow. They were like jazz performers, these comedians. I don't see that today, and I'm not against the comedians today. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get that they're in it. They're in an art. We have an art. We got to protect this art. They don't understand it.
Am I the only person that doesn't understand the comedies of today on TV? I don't get half of them, and the other half I don't like.
But there's a crowd. I mean, when you see Lady Gaga come out of an egg, what does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what kind of music is that? I mean, she can't just... See, if she just stood up in front of a microphone with a regular dress on, she wouldn't get a job. But when she walks around with a hunk of beef on her, everybody goes, my God, that's different. That's not different. That's asinine. I would let the dogs loose.
Right, exactly. I mean, it seems like if you get attention nowadays, you can be famous for just getting
that's
attention.
That's wrong, because I tell my grandkids that's wrong. That's not music. I says, you know, they don't know the big band era. They don't know all the kind of great singers that we lived with who are icons. But they just see somebody's got a ring on their tongue or a ring in their nose, they go, that's it.
Right, absolutely.
And I said, that's not it. My father, if I got a tattoo, I said to my father one time, I need a nose job, he punched me in the nose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, times have really changed now. If you did that today, you'd be sued.
Oh, you got a nose here. My father won't step to me, and I'm not lying. He says, next Wednesday, I'm going to go to electric chair. I said, why, Daddy? He said, because Tuesday, I'm going to kill you. But it is called child abuse.
But you really do have a sense of humor. I mean, you really, and has that gotten you far in life? Has that made your life easier, the fact that you can laugh so much and make other people laugh?
Well, you know, it's a gift. It is a gift to make people laugh. When I was in a hospital having my appendix out, I was about 12 years old, there was a fireman next to me, and the doctors asked me not to make him laugh because his stitches were breaking.
Wow.
I was telling him stories about some of my things I was doing and how I used to do James Cagney in Spanish. I used to do Cary Grant in Spanish. They used to scream yelling.
Wow.
And the doctor would say, please don't do this. He said, well, we're going to have to move the guy from the ward.
So you wrote this book for Square One Publications. How did this come about? Did they ask you to do it, or did you want to?
I was turned down by every major publisher.
Why are you too controversial?
This little guy came out of the wall and he said, I'm going to publish this book because the name really got him. How dare you say, how dare me? He said, that's an eye catcher. He says, I can't believe none of the bigger places, none of the bigger people didn't buy you. I said, I didn't ask for a raise. I didn't ask for any money. I just want this thing to make the best list on the Times paper. Yeah, that's all.
Right. Well, you're so famous, I'm sure it will.
Well, I'm being turned down by every television show. I can't understand what the hell's wrong with them.
Do they think
I've got great stories to tell.
Oh, you definitely do, and these stories are wonderful to read. I'm sitting here the other night just reading them, and one after the other, I'm like, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in this one.
Well, it's just sad because you have a something to sell, and you can't sell it, and even though it's a good thing, they won't buy it. So I've been doing a lot of radio, thank God. I've been doing about 30 radio shows I've done already, and it seems to be paying off.
That's because we love you.
I'm about 15,000 sales already.
Oh, really? That's great. But
Dynamite. I didn't expect to get to that.
But you stood up to Frank Sinatra. I mean, you did something that a lot of people would never have had the nerve. I mean, I wouldn't have had the nerve.
Well, it's not a question of standing up to the man. It's a question is I want to know what he was trying to do to me.
Right.
You don't take away my ammunition.
No.
How dare you? Why give me a gun if you're going to take away the ammunition? I opened for him at the Sands. I went on right after Count Basie's April in Paris. You know what that is to follow.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He told Jilly to take out a thing about the Saints. I knocked on the door. I said, Frank, it's Pat Coop. He says, yes, what can I do for you, kid? I said, did you tell Jilly to take out my routine about the Saints? And he didn't answer me. He looked like in shock as if to say, why is this kid saying this to me?
Right.
Then I said, then do I tell you what songs to sing? So don't tell me how to be funny. That's unfair.
Yeah.
And he did not know. I said, if you want me to leave, I'll leave and won't come back. I said, I don't need this aggravation. They're waiting for you. You're taking away one of my big laughs. I said, this is not right. It's not decent. And we became friends, but I never worked with him again.
No.
Because when you work with Sinatra, you got to be his comic. I said, I'm not my father's son. How can I be your comic?
Exactly. Well, you should be your own son. You are you. Why should you have to be somebody else's?
But it's difficult because people who are a little bit weaker just don't like you. They think you're out of order. They're making excuses for your outgoingness. And I said, that's not true. That's unfair. I said, are you mad if a bricklayer knows how to build a building? If a butcher knows how to cut meat? If they got talent, one of these things, I'll say, oh, my God, that's wonderful.
Right.
But they don't do it. There's a lot of jealousy out in my business. You ought to know that.
Absolutely. A celebrity, you watch the celebrities on TV, and some of them, I mean, they just come across as so arrogant.
Well, you know something? That's the sad part. They forgot. I'll give you an insight. I just did the 92nd Street Y in New York.
Hmm.
Steve Martin was there 2 weeks ago. They walked out on him.
What?
They literally got up and asked for their money back because he decided he wanted to talk about his art collection.
Oh, my.
And people said they want to talk about, you know, your laughing and the fun things you've done. All of a sudden, he didn't want no part of what he went or what made him.
Huh.
So now he's a big art collector. It's the same with Howard Stern. Howard Stern now goes to the Hamptons, the Hamptons. I said, Howard, you belong in Coney Island. What are you doing in the Hamptons? I said, you gave up your base. What's the matter with you? You're not Howard Stern of yesteryear. You're asking your constituents to pay $12 a month to listen to the same crap that you've been saying for 25 years. That's unfair.
Wow.
Go to Coney Island where you belong. It's one of the best places in the world.
Exactly.
But yeah, he don't want to know that because he made friends with people who hate him because now he's got the Hollywood thing going.
Well,
he's never went to the Friars roast, all right? He went to Matt Lauer's roast and he went to Tarantino's roast. Now I said to him, oh, now you want to be part of the roast. When we ask you, you turn this down.
Right.
You're a hypocrite.
Oh, isn't that awful? You just never know. I mean, do you have people in the business who over the years have hated you? I mean, have they actually told you they've hated you? I mean, are there people that won't speak to you even today?
You mean people in television?
Yeah, television, movie. I mean, all the
famous. I've got people that think I walk on water. I've got people that don't want no part of me. They say I got a lot of nerve.
Yeah.
I was married 44 years. I mean, then I lost a family because of this. And I wrote that in my book also. I lost my children. I lost grandchildren because they were going to torture me. I said, I can't take this. I can't do this anymore. And I took a powder.
Well, you need to be...
No way.
Right. You just need to be true to yourself. I mean, I feel that very strongly when I read the book, that you are you, and you're not going to take anything.
Why should I be punished losing my children, and then my children are against me?
No,
they don't want no part of me. I said, okay. So what I did is, rather than hang myself and suffer, I said, you know something? It's the best thing that happened to me. Because if I didn't do what I did, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'd be miserable. I might have done something tragic. So I'm happy. So I only felt bad that they lost something, that they don't even know their father. Because my ex-wife said to me, these are my kids. I said, then you own them, go ahead. But you're not going to shove that down my throat. I won't let you do that. That's unfair. I'm a human being. Right. Give me a chance to be funny.
Absolutely, I agree.
I got my son now, 50 years old. He wrote a book about how bad I is. I said, so, how bad? First of all, I said, how come you don't get a life? How can you torture yourself for 50 years?
Right.
I said, when I asked you for my baby picture, you said, you're not in the family, so you didn't send them to me. Look at this nonsense.
That's crazy.
I had a sister-in-law come to New York City and punch me in the nose.
That's nuts.
I'm serious.
I believe
you. How dare you? She says, how dare you get married again? Boom, punch me in the nose.
You're definitely not the type of person to make things up. I mean, it's so obvious when you read this book that these things really happened. I mean, they're too fascinating not to be true. All the stories in your book, I mean, there's a lot of different stories.
It's all true because nobody wants to say this. What makes a book happen is when you tell people you're a human being trying to do something decent. And when you do something decent, they still hang on and they don't want to know nothing. They're hoping you drop dead or they're hoping you get sick. They want you out of the picture because they're embarrassed. They're punishing me, say, you made us feel stupid because we called you a dummy.
Yeah.
I said, Well, I don't hold that against you. Well, you are a dummy, and now you went to the Copacabana. When I went to the Copacabana, they handed me a summons my first time at the Copacabana. Look how nasty that is.
You've been through
it. But you know something? My sense of humor, I read the summons on the stage. People got hysterical. They thought it was a joke.
I that was a great story. I must say, that's true.
Well, that's, you know, these things happen, and you should put that in the book. They don't want to read about, you know, how great you are. They want to know that you had nothing and you made something of yourself.
Right. And you have.
I mean, if a man comes out of jail and becomes a hell of a nice man, that's good. That means he's learned something. He's contributing now. That's what I did with my life. I'm 82. I'm still around.
That's right. And you sound great. And you must be in good health. We're doing this interview.
Well, people say I look good for 82. I'd rather be old and look 40.
Right. And you look great on your book. You look angry on the front of your book.
You know, so that's me. I mean, I'm a street guy. I never became an actor or a performer. I was a street guy getting laughs.
And
that's all I did.
And the way people have treated you your whole life, it's amazing you didn't, you didn't have a heart attack from all the anger you must have been feeling.
Well, the doctor says he doesn't know how to have 10 heart attacks. He says because I'm a very hyper guy.
Right.
I sleep and my leg pumps, and I told my wife, if the leg stops pumping, do not call a doctor, get a priest in here.
Exactly.
And I lost my wife 8 years ago, the love of my life, 43 years with this woman.
Oh.
But I'm saying, 43 years, and my kids called her a whore. I mean, give me a break. How dare they do this? And then when my first wife got married a second time, I congratulated her. I wished her luck. I mean, what kind of people are these things? And they're still hanging on for what?
Now, was this...
So stupid.
Right. Exactly. I agree.
My first daughter says, you ought to pay us. You made money by talking about us. I said, if I really talked about you, I'd go to jail.
Oh, I bet you love that.
I made you people educational, you dummy. What's the matter with you?
That's right. We've learned things.
No sense of humor, no street smarts.
If there's one thing you do come away with reading this book, is a sense that, wow, I need to stand up for myself more like this guy. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's about dignity. It's about dignity. What the hell is wrong with people?
They're more worried about offending somebody. Or, you know, I always, you know, you have to just do what's right. And, you know, heck with it. I mean, you've been, how many years you've been in the business now?
Well, I'd say, easy 50.
50?
I work with the greatest performers on the planet.
Right.
What an honor that was. And not only that, when I moved to Vegas, they used to come to my house, and my wife used to cook for all of us at 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd have laughs. I mean, it was wonderful.
Right. So you've had a lot of wonderful things in your life. Have you done everything you wanted to do?
Just about. I want this book to go on the top 10 of the New York Times, and I don't give a damn about the money. I was so happy to get a book, and this thing is starting to happen.
Well, it's never been about the money for you. It's never been about money for you. It's always been about... It's always been about doing the right thing and keeping your dignity, like you said, and that comes through in your book very strongly.
Well, if you've got a few dollars, you've got to share it. That's what it's all about. I mean, I got grandkids from a second marriage. I mean, I put away money for their college. I'll do whatever I can for them. My life is over.
And
I got a few dollars, it's theirs.
Absolutely, and I applaud you for that. That's wonderful. I mean, you're a down-to-earth. You're easy to talk to. I mean, I can sit here and talk to you, and I'm not afraid you're going to yell at me.
Why would I? That's it. See, this is my delivery. People think I'm yelling because
right.
My mother was a yeller. My mother yelled, "Where's the macaroni? Where's the bread?"
So that's where you get it from, your mother?
Well, my father never raised his voice above a whisper. But when my father looked at you, you knew it was war.
Right.
And my father had a dog that ate everything we ate. The dog died. He was 20 years old. He couldn't die the dog.
So,
but he died with a smile.
And so as long as your dad didn't look, wasn't looking at you, you were okay.
Well, my father, if you read the whole book, my father walked away.
Yeah,
he told my mother, if you stop buying property, you know, I don't want no responsibilities for that. And behind his back, she bought a piece of property. And he found out, he says, well, next time you want to get laid, he says, go lay your property. And he moved out and never came back.
Wow.
That's a fact. He lived in a hotel, St. George, for 37 years.
Did you ever see him?
He died with a smile.
Did you ever see him after he walked out at all?
Yeah, he came to the Copacabana, and they threw him out because he said, I'm the father of Pasquale Caputo. They threw him the hell out. He wouldn't say he was Pat Cooper's father.
Right.
Amazing. So I said, they threw me out. I said, well, why don't you tell them who I am? He goes, no, you're Pasquale Caputo. And he got mad because I changed my name. I said, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah. Is your name
the Italian way? That's the Italian way.
Yeah.
You know, but what good is a name if you're not a nice person? What the hell good is a name?
Exactly. I mean, you should be allowed to call yourself whatever you want.
Absolutely, but that's old-fashioned, and they go to their grave disliking you because you changed the name.
Do you still talk to Tony Bennett at all?
I don't see him. But see, Tony's in another plateau. I worked with Tony for a week at the Diplomat, and about 2 weeks after that, I see him on the street. He goes, when are we going to work together? So he's in some other kind of planet sometimes. But he still sings great, but he's got his own way, and I don't socialize with too many performers. In fact, I very rarely socialize. When I finish my job, the store is closed, I go home.
Right. Now, are you still...
That's what I do. I got responsibilities, I take them.
Now, are you still doing stand-up comedy today?
I do stand-up, sit-down, I do anything. I'm still funny as hell. I got a great sense of humor. I keep changing. I tell people stories that they want to hear. And that's me. And, you know, and I'm very fortunate because I got a great imagination. And I paint pictures when I'm up there doing stand-up.
Do you care whether anybody likes you? You obviously like people's respect, but, I mean, do you really care if anybody...
I don't want there to be anybody like me. I want people to go out and get their own life and create their own magic and do some contribution to our society.
Absolutely.
It's important to let the kids know, hey, listen, there's other things that you got to learn. I wish they'd play Sinatra in these colleges. Yeah. I wish they'd get somebody stand-ups, but they're all dead that I grew up with. They never went to colleges. Now we got kids working colleges taking their clothes off.
Now, do you still listen to the music from before when you were, I mean, from years ago that you still love? And do you still listen to it today?
No. I can't hear it because I have a deaf problem. But I'm happy. People say, yeah, feel bad. So don't feel bad. It could be worse.
Right.
I miss my music. I miss playing my records, but that's okay. That doesn't bother me. I'm still here. I got 1 week high school. I didn't go that week.
I like on the inside of your front cover, you've got some really fame. You even got Donald Trump, a picture with Donald Trump. I'm like, wow, when did he ever meet Donald Trump?
Yes, I made that. We were at a roast. We were roasting, what's his name, the guy with the head, the big boxing promoter, Don King.
Don King, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump doesn't understand. I did 15 of those roasts at the Friars, and I'm the only one that had the nerve to close every one of them without a piece of paper in my hand. So he introduces me, goes, well, here comes the closing of this particular roast. He says, and the way the show's going, he'll go on the toilet, too.
And there you are with
me. So I got up, and I said, let me tell you something, Sonny. When you get talent like I did without a father giving you the gosh damn money, then you talk to me. Now you sit down, and let me show you how to get laughs. And the place went nuts.
Right, exactly.
And I said to him after the show, you got no respect for me, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, and by the way, you're fired. So he laughed at me, but I stay away from these people because they're not real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, and I sense that sometimes with celebrities on TV. Some of them don't seem real. I mean, even to me, Regis Philbin doesn't seem real sometimes. He seems like he's all about himself, you know. And
well, just see that all these reality shows. There's not one reality show that I can say is real.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about sex. It's all about more sex and more sex. Now the women in their 40s become cougars.
Right.
They got to have a, you know, we got to give them a label. And what is it all about? It's about sex, sex, and more sex. We have no dignity for the sex anymore.
Right.
My father said, when you take a woman out, you take her out like she's your sister, or I'll kill you.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And here you are with Buddy Hackett, Dom DeLuise. Dom DeLuise looks like he must have been a fun guy to know.
Well, you know, I don't want to be grumpy. I just feel that my grandkids and the kids today may not have a great future.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. There's a lot out there, and there's a lot of...
What good is having a great education if you have no common sense? They don't know how to take
right.
the garbage out.
Exactly. And how many people do they work in? I mean, how many people do they really work hard? So a lot of people just want to get through the day. They don't want to do their, they're surfing the internet or doing whatever they're not supposed to be doing at work, other than everything they should be doing.
My father said, there's no free lunch. Don't ever think whenever you get something for nothing, it's for free. Because along the life you're going to live, you're going to pay back.
Right.
And so don't expect nothing for nothing and have respect for people. And my father never, but listen, when you hear a comic, oh, I work for gay people, I said, that's a terrible thing to put people in the category. I said, you know why we had no gay problems years ago? He says, why? Because we had no closet, so we had nothing to come out of.
Right, exactly.
And they said, well, that should hurt me. I said, so the guy said, where'd you hang your clothes? We hung them on the knob.
You do have a great sense of humor. That's wonderful to see. But yeah, the world's changed so much. I mean, nowadays things that you can't even imagine, and what they put on TV is just tremendous. I mean, you got your start with Jackie Gleason. On Jackie Gleason's show.
Well, here's a man that come out of the dressing room, walked over to my dressing room and said, if you weren't the greatest, Pat, you wouldn't be on my show. Boy, was that a confidence builder.
Wow.
And this guy loved to drink, he loved to smoke, and the doctors kept warning him. He said, I'd rather die if I can't drink and smoke. That was him.
Wow.
That was him.
Well, what a great talent he was. I mean,
absolutely. And he paid his dues over the years.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you watch it, and you can still watch The Honeymooners today and laugh like crazy.
That's right.
And they never go out of style.
The kids today don't get it. I don't know why my grandkids don't. They say, what's that all about? They don't understand.
Well, you could teach them a lot.
Yeah, but they're not going to listen to me because,
that's true.
You see, I was born Italian, and my grandkids are not going to be Italian like I was. That's they don't go to church. They want to make their own religion when they're 18.
Right.
And you can't say nothing.
No, because then the parents come after you, or you look like the bad guy.
Well, I don't want to look like the bad guy, and if they think I'm the bad guy, I mean, they're losers, not me. I'm going to go around and do what I got to do. I've done it all my life.
Right. Did you ever work with Jackie Gleason again after that first?
I did four shows with him. I did three with him and then one with Don DeLuise when he took over for one Saturday night. And he was a marvelous man to me. And I worked with Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole, Andy Williams, Perry Como. I don't know who I didn't work with.
Now, on the inside cover of your book, there's a picture of you with a woman. Who is that woman? Is that your wife?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know who. I thought, I don't know if I was supposed to recognize her. She looks so happy there with you.
Well, this is a great lady. She came from a small town called Ashtabula, Ohio. And you never raised your voice in that town. She was Italian. Her family came from Italy. And she was raised the proper way. And I got very fortunate by meeting her. And I married and I lived with her for 43 years. I never met a finer lady.
Did you ever have any fights?
I'm sorry?
Did you, and you probably never fought with her?
Did I what?
Fight. And did you guys ever fight?
Oh, yeah. Fight. You know, I was one time I said, I don't want to be married no more. She goes, what do you want to eat tonight? I said, well, maybe a nice lasagna. It wouldn't hurt. Because she never took me. She says, you're an actor. You got things going for you. You're hyper. And, it's 2 minutes before the show or after you finish your show. Nobody should bother you. You should dry off. Relax.
Now, here, is this you with Judy Garland?
Oh, yeah. I was my wife, that was a rival. And all of a sudden, this is the first night she didn't come down to Copacabana. That's the night Judy walked in.
Oh.
But she said, my God, and she was so wonderful, Judy Garland.
Oh.
So wonderful. I mean, I can't get over these people. Just wonderful. And when they're wonderful, they're twice as talented as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what's been?
And look at the poor life she led. This woman, what a sin! What a sin!
Yeah, it is. It is a shame. And you look back and you think, how did they get through it? And, how did they? Oh, I mean, and the business is a lot tougher nowadays than it was back then. I would guess. I don't know. Maybe it was tougher back then, but it seems like it seems like we're more critical nowadays.
Years ago, we had legitimate fun that don't happen today. They have fun. They think there's got to be a reason behind it. They want to be photographed having fun. They want an image that's which is not theirs. They want to control, you know, their bad image. So they spend thousands and thousands of dollars. They don't like the way they look in the mirror, so they have Botox on their face, which means they don't like themselves. I tell everyone who does that, let me tell you something. If you don't have a good heart, Botox ain't going to help you.
Right, exactly.
He says, what are you trying to kid yourself? You're going to look, you can look like Marilyn Monroe, you can look like Judy Garland, you can look like whatever. If you're not a nice person, that thing's going to melt faster.
Did you have a really, was there any day in your life so far that was just really awful?
Something dangerous?
No, your life so far, have there been any days where you were just, you just had an awful day?
No, my awful day, believe it or not, is getting up and saying, well, gee, I don't know what I got to do today. So what I do is I'm a degenerate shopper, and I'm a degenerate cook. So I'll cook for maybe 2, 3, 4 people to bring it to their house, and just that's what I do. I'm not a depressed kind of guy.
Yeah, you do for others. That's wonderful. I mean, when you're doing something for others, you're doing something for yourself, too. People forget that.
I've got more philosophy and learning about everyday life by driving a cab, believe it or not. And I learned to be a great comedian by practicing making people in my cab laugh.
And you were a bricklayer for 30 years, is that true?
I was the worst bricklayer that God put on this earth.
For 30 years you did it?
No. It was about 10, 12 years.
Oh, okay.
I finally got all my tools and threw them in the Gowanus Canal. My father got insulted.
Yeah.
Because my father was a great artist in that. When he put cement on a trowel, he was special. And I'll tell you how much he liked the brickwork. There was a book out called Christ in Concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It was out maybe 40, 50 years ago. He read it 15 times because the book said concrete.
Hmm.
I said, what's the book about? You keep reading the book called Christ in Concrete. They made a movie called Christ in Concrete, and a guy called Sam Wanamaker played the part. My father must have saw it 20 times. I said, what is it about? He goes, none of your business.
Now,
but the word concrete, he felt a part of that book that they were writing about bricklayers.
Right. Now, is Buddy Hackett still alive?
No, Buddy passed away about 7, 8 years ago.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember if he had or not. He did.
He was one of the giants, this guy. He was one of the great ones, the Burrows and the Youngmans. There's no longer guys like that, Chickie Greens and Jan Murray's and these kind of guys. You don't have that no more.
Yeah, do you like any of the comedians today?
I like Robin Williams. I love Richard Pryor. I love the George Carlin. I love that kind because they were doing something that nobody did.
Right.
They were opening up a little way, but a lot of the kids today are either cursing or talking about drugs, and they want to shock the audience, and that's where we're at today.
I mean, that's
it.
I look at Steve Carell. I don't get Steve Carell. I don't get Will Ferrell. I don't understand why their comedy is so humorous. I don't find it very humorous.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. That's your taste is not there.
Right.
But I mean, they have women comics today that are filthy.
Right. Oh yeah.
And they get on television and they get bleeped for half an hour. They won't give me a job on these shows because I think they're worried that I have a mouth that I'll say what's on my mind, they're scared.
Right. So is that why you don't get calls from Jay Leno and?
Well, Jay Leno never would have me on. I did Letterman 3 times, and I finally told Letterman, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. When I get on the stage, you ask me anything you want. I have to be improv. I'm an improv. They would not put me on anymore because I wouldn't do it. I said, if you want to ask me a question, I don't give a damn what subject you ask me. But I'm not going to have it written down so you can read it first in the afternoon. Know the punchlines if I got any. I said, that's unfair. You're taking away my talent. But they don't want you to do that because they don't want to make you bigger than you are. It's a whole mess of things.
Well, everything on Letterman is planned out in advance. You're right. The whole show, from what I've heard, is very much planned out in advance. I mean, they know everything.
Listen, there's no more Johnny Carson's. There's no more Steve Allen's. There's no more Jack Paar's. That era is over, so we have a new era, so we got to try to live with it the best we can.
That's right. And they get paid a lot of money for doing something, and they're not really even that funny, in my
opinion.
Well,
then listen, how do you like when they want a raise and they're not funny?
I mean, you get somebody like Jimmy Kimmel, who all he does is stare at the real pretty women. He has all the pretty women on his show just so he can stare at them and make sexual jokes.
Yeah. Well, he's been on quite a while. Now he's got his new guy, Jimmy Fallon, and then you got Conan O'Rourke, or Lucky Conan O'Brien got.
I think
they put him on NBC, then they took him off, and they gave him $40 million to get lost.
Yeah, how's that? You know, who wouldn't take that?
I got lost for $30.
That's right. Did you ever want your own talk show? Would you have liked that?
No. I'm not good to be a talk show host.
But you're a good talker, though.
I want to be the guest.
You like being the guest. Now, how many?
Because I got things to say, and coming from me as a host won't make it. So I know my strengths and weaknesses. I would not make a great host. I would make a great guest on any show, as long as they don't ask me, what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, when you do stand-up comedy, how long did it take you to prepare for your routine? Or was everything pretty much, I mean, did you know what you were going to say beforehand a lot of times, or did you make a lot of stuff up too?
Well, no, see, the fun of being a comedian is Russian roulette, which shows your confidence has never left you. You're not afraid. When I can do the roast with the biggest stars on that dais in clothes, because none of them have the strength to close, because they said they can't follow me, which is a nice compliment. And I says, okay, now I'll show you how I do it. Without paper, without writers, because I have that confidence, because I listen. And I see what I cannot hear, what I cannot say. That's the trick.
Right.
I know right off the bat I cannot say what they're saying. So now if I can't roast the guy we're supposed to be roasting, I'll roast the guy next door. But I will not be there with a tail between my legs because I'm very confident about my comedic talent.
Right. And you have a lot of comedic talent. I mean, nobody doubts that.
Well, listen, you know, again, they're waiting for me to go. I haven't gone yet.
That's right. Why would they want you to go? It's too much fun having you around. Why would they want you to go?
Well, you know what someone told me very strange is, you know, God forbid to leave the planet, I guarantee you they'll be talking about you for years. I said, sure, when I'm dead.
So what? You're dead. You're not even going to care anyway.
No, I said that. I said, you know, I said, I want this book to become a movie.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
And who would play you, I wonder?
I don't know. Some wacky old guy out there.
Well,
I don't think he's born yet.
You could play yourself.
Well, if you look at me and looking at my energy, I haven't seen that.
I mean, you look at Betty White today. I mean, 89 years old and still going strong. I mean, she's a tribute to people over. I mean, she gives the confidence to people, you know, that your life is never over.
Well, listen, I'm one of the most fortunate guys on the planet, and I tell you, Dave, I'm very grateful. I don't want to sound corny, but I don't know anyone who's more lucky than I am. I have not met that person
what
yet.
Are you most what are you most grateful for?
I'm grateful that I've been healthy all these years, and I'm grateful for that. And I got two great grandkids, and I got an old daughter from my second marriage, and she's a school teacher, and I'm proud of her, and I got a good son-in-law, and everybody's where they're supposed to be, and that's it. I'm over. Whatever I do is for them. I don't need anything anymore.
Do you have any close friends?
Oh, I got, because I go to Florida, I got friends that want to take me out every night, but I don't do that. I'm not a schnurrer.
A schnurrer.
That's a Jewish word. I'm not a schnurrer. I don't want people to pick up my checks. That's no good. That don't work for me. And I worked with the biggest stars who took me to dinner, and I had to pay the checks. I'll tell you that story one day.
Wow.
And the name of my next book is going to be called, you ready for this?
What's that?
Here's the name of my next book. When you're born a dog, you can't die a cat.
I like that. That's great.
That's going to be, I got about 42 stories that I haven't put in the first book.
Now, you mentioned in the book about how you like soup. You're a big soup person. Now, is that really a lot of your diet?
Well, you know, my father, when he talked to you, he always moved his head. And we never served him soup because it'd be all over the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, he'd talk. He says, so what time you're coming home tonight? And you can see the head back and forth moving. And we never served him anything that was liquid.
Hmm.
He'd drink a glass of wine and miss his mouth.
What has kept you going for 82 years? I mean, what has your diet been like that it's sustained?
I eat the same thing I I've eaten all my life. I'm a big pasta eater, soups. I like once in a while a piece of meat, like fish. And I eat the food of my culture because I honestly believe when you eat the food of your culture, it's going to be good for your body. But when you go to other cultures, you know, your intestines are going to say, what the hell is that coming down here?
Right. I'm with you. But you're not a big hamburger person.
I make hamburger once in a while. I'm a big meatball man. There's a difference.
Ah, okay.
Well, my mother made a meatball, and that was in the sauce. And you get up Sunday morning, put that meatball on a fork, and eat that for that first bite. It was better than sex.
Do you have any regrets at all?
Yes.
What?
I have regrets that I will never talk to my kids anymore, nor my grandkids. And I know that they got a great grandfather, and they'll never know about it. And they're very bitter and very angry, and it's ridiculous.
So you're willing to give in, but they're not. Is that the way it is?
I'm sorry?
You're willing to talk to them, they just won't talk to you? Is that the way it is?
No. I won't even go near that no more. I don't even want to be part of that no more.
Yeah, that's
because
sad.
I tried a lot of things, they didn't work. Because they said, if you want, it's got to be on our terms. And I said, you got that. So what do you want, warden? What is that?
Yeah.
I said, I told my ex-wife, what's the matter with you? It took two of us to make these kids. All of a sudden, they're your kids. Because I become successful, then that's too bad.
Well, you seem very appreciative of things because you grew up. Well, you didn't have much when you grew up.
Absolutely, but you know something? It's like, well, you see it every day in a paper. Guy hits the lotto for $200 million or something. All of a sudden, his relatives want to hate him. Who wants to sue him? Who wants a piece of stuff? He's wishing a guy luck.
Right, exactly. It's a crazy world out there. It's crazy. What do you do for fun? What do you do when you're not working?
Well, like I said, I'll do some cooking. I'll go out on myself. If there's a racetrack nearby, I'll go play a couple of races. I'll go visit some friends. I go to Florida, you know, and I go to lunch with the guys. I hang out. But I'm not looking for anything more. I like to work, just to work. That's all, just to go to work.
That's what makes you happy. Obviously, it is because you've done it for so many years and enjoyed it for so many years.
I mean, I have nobody. I don't owe anybody anything. I pay my bills. I got a place in Florida. I got a place here. And I bought these places for my grandkids. If my grandkids want to go to college in Florida, they got a place to stay. They want to go to a college in New York, they got a place to stay. It's not for me.
Yeah, and I know. I can tell by talking to you that you're a very loving person. I mean, you do love people. You'd have to.
Well, that's what show business is about. You've got to love to get on that audience. You know how grateful I am if a guy turns around and pay $40, $50 to see me work, and there's 1,100 people in the audience? I mean, I'm saying to myself, boy, that makes me special, but I don't take that home with me.
Right.
After the curtain goes down, you go home, and you just say, hey, I'm still Pat Cooper, that's it.
Right, you don't have a big ego, is what you're saying.
Well, I got guys who say, you know, you should go out and get a girl. Well, about a week ago, a girl came over to me and says, you know, would you like to go to bed with me? He said, if I go to bed with you, I'm going to sleep.
There you go.
I hate to tell you this, honey. I said, I made it too. I said, the ship didn't sail, it sunk.
Right. You're very realistic. I mean, you look at life very realistically.
It's true. I can't function no more. Right. My days of bed are over. Some of the best love moments in my life.
I
never mean this disrespectfully.
No,
my father once said it to me. He said, one day you're going to be happy to pee.
But your parents taught you a lot of good things, too, didn't they?
Well, because they taught me common sense. If you're going to go out the door, make sure you open the door first.
Exactly. That's a good idea.
And when we eat at 6 o'clock, this is your family, you make sure you're at the table at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you did that. Nowadays, the kids are all over the place. They're talking on their phones, and they're playing on the internet, and they're playing video
and
games.
And your father wants to eat because he's the man of the house, and the dipper is facing your father.
Right.
My father said, if you want the dipper facing you, marry a long lady and get your own house.
When was the last time you, and who was it that you laughed, that you got the biggest laugh? I mean, who makes you laugh hysterically?
Well, I don't know if I can say this. Are we being taped?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did a roast about 2 weeks ago for Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yes, the director.
And I said I closed that show and I said, I only took this little job here, Mr. Tarantino. I said, no disrespect to you, but I wanted to meet Uma Thurman. And as I said that, she got up, gave me a kiss on my cheek, and I said, oh my God, I just came. And the audience screamed.
Yeah, I'll bet they did.
But I didn't plan it, but it was just the right thing to say. It came out like, wow, and boy, I said, when did you think that? I said, it just came out.
That just means, Pat, you still have it. After all these years, you still have it. Whatever
well,
it is, you,
so.
You still have it. You're still loved, and people still appreciate you.
Listen, I hope you're not angry, but I'm going to have to go because I got an 8 o'clock. To 8 o'clock. I got to go to Audrey Quinn on another radio show.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. It really has. And your book again is called Pat Cooper, How Dare You Say How Dare Me. It's out from Square One Publications in all your bookstores and online. I hope you all get to read it because it's really a good book.
David, thank you for the room. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This has been David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.